This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know about you, but I have waited all week for this day. We're waiting for this pandemic to be over. We're waiting to get back together one with another. How is it we're to get through this life? I thank God that He has given us a handbook to help us get through this thing that we call life. Isaiah 40, verses 27 through 31, encourages the follower of Christ to patiently endure trials. So often I find myself wanting to hang on to the good news found in the Bible and skip over the yuck we may have to encounter to get to the good stuff. I mean, would you agree many of the individuals in this congregation are going through intense struggles right now? Some of these struggles may be health related, some of them are emotional dilemmas. How we relate to them vary in degree to our faith in God. When life gets tough, will you continue to live faithfully to God in the face of severe trials and dilemmas? Sometimes in God's ultimate wisdom, He will allow these things to turn you back toward Him. Even for a short time, do we sometimes, in our humanness, feel as though we can do things in our own strength rather than relying on God? Sure, it's easy to trust God when life is going well. It's easy to sing our praises to God and participate at church when all is good, or have the ability to. Faith, hope, and trusting God isn't difficult when it's comfortable and convenient. When we face the difficulties that this life throws our way, our first response needs to be wait, in confident hope upon the Lord. Why? We find the answer in Isaiah chapter 40. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this time that we're setting apart to focus on You. I pray that Your Spirit would minister to our spirit, that we would be open and receptive to Your Word, that we would apply what we read to our lives, and that You would use this time effectively for molding and shaping us into the people You created us to be. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Israel's facing difficulties and is told to wait on the Lord. Some translations use the word hope, but the concept is the same. To hang in there, to keep the faith, and to have a confident expectation of being rescued. Israel, Jacob, is in exile and complaining, wondering why God doesn't do something to help. Listen to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Grab your Bibles. We're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, they will walk and not be faint. Throughout this chapter, there are several points that should serve as encouragement to each of us to hang in there. In this chapter, we find that when life gets difficult, we're to wait in confident hope for God to work in our lives and do something through the struggles we experience. The Israelites complained that God must not know their situation. But He's the one who put them there, and I might add, for a reason. He told them He was going to allow this to happen, and He told them for how long. They of all people ought to know and understand by now that God is fully aware of their situation. Would you agree we too should know that God is fully aware of our situations? And the truth is, He has it all planned out, and all under control. How is it sometimes we find ourselves at verse 27 saying, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? When all throughout the Bible we find that God knows what's taking place before it comes to be. He's never surprised. You can't sneak up on him or jump out and scare him. You can't catch him off guard. God knows all things. If you have your Bible, look back at verse 21 through 26. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy. He spreads them out like a tent to live in. Verse 23. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. We need to come to the understanding that God definitely knows what is going on in our lives. God knows us intimately. Luke 12:7 tells us that the very hairs on our head are numbered. He knows who is an enemy. He knows who is a friend. He knows your struggles, your feelings, limits, griefs, frustrations, your anxiety. He knows our dilemmas, how much money's in our pocket, as well as the bills that need to be paid. He knows your heart and your inmost thoughts. So each of us can rest fully confident that God knows what we personally are going through. Something we need to realize is that people grow weary. Our strength is limited. Our patience has its breaking point. Our ability to endure has a limit. We tend to quit. We falter. We fail. We look for shortcuts, the easy way out. We try to find a way out or around obstacles and problems. And when we can't, we lose our patience. It is people that fail. Your friends, parents, pastor, teacher, whoever may be your hero will disappoint you sometime. They will make mistakes. They won't have all the answers or be there when you need them, but God is. Ponder this thought for a moment. He doesn't go to sleep, go on vacation, get bored, distracted, or forget. He doesn't come down with the flu or get laid up for months. He is the everlasting God. He's the beginning and the end. He has no limits. He's fully aware of your struggles, and he can handle them. Like me, you may question, so where is he? Why has he not done what I want him to do? This is what I have come to understand. Because it's his plan, not mine. He's in charge, not me or you. We don't know what's going on, but he does. What are we to do? Persevere. Live this life faithfully with expectant hope to see God work in and through our lives. Why? Because God knows what he's doing. We do not have his understanding. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, 12 through 14. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked out the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in the balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Today, presidents have their cabinets of counselors to advise them. God doesn't need them. I mean, who would he appoint? He doesn't need our wisdom to govern the universe. Problems arise when we expect God to do things our way and on our time schedule. Doing this, we are placing ourselves on the throne as Lord, taking his place. That's wrong. That is sin. God's word says, "You shall have no other God before me." Our idea of what's right and needed are far different from his. Listen to Habakkuk's dilemma in Habakkuk 1, 2 through 6. "Oh Lord, how long must I call for help before you will listen? I shout to you in vain. There is no answer. Help! Murder! I cry. But no one comes to save. Must I forever see this sin and sadness all around me? Wherever I look, I see oppression and bribery and men who love to argue and fight. The law is not enforced. There's no justice given in the courts, for the wicked far outnumber the righteous, and bribes and trickery prevail." The Lord replied, "Look and be amazed. You'll be astounded at what I am about to do, for I am going to do something in your own lifetime that you will have to see to believe. I am raising a new force on the world scene, the Chaldeans, a cruel and violent nation who will march across the world and conquer it." Habakkuk's views are pretty grim, and he doesn't see God working, but he is. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, we see the apostles being reminded to wait on God. We read at verse 6, "He," Jesus, "appeared to them. They asked him, 'Lord, are you going to free Israel from Rome now and restore us to an independent nation?' 'The Father sets those dates,' he replied, 'and they're not for you to know. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth about my death and resurrection.'" We're to walk, work, and wait in resurrection power, in confident hope upon the Lord. Mark 13, 32 and 33 says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come." There are some things we won't know. However, we are to know that everything will happen according to God's plan and in his time. We need to expect that he will take care of those who wait for him in confident hope. We simply do not see what God sees or know what God knows. For example, think of the crucifixion. I mean, people thought Jesus' death on the cross was a disaster, and when in actuality, it's the greatest event, the greatest victory in history of all mankind. Today, we are to walk in that power. Rarely do we see it, but God is working in other people's lives as they watch you live out your faith. Who might God be touching as you continue to serve and honor him, as you refuse to give in to temptation, to the temptation that this world has to offer? It's impossible for us to know or comprehend what God can do or what he has in mind. I mean, think of it. We are less than nothing, and the God of the universe chooses to use us. The greatest and wisest nations on earth, the superpowers that be, are like fine dust in his hand. They're not a problem to him. The biggest problem you or I or this nation, for that matter, the greatest and wisest nations on earth, the superpowers that be, are like fine dust in his hand. They're not a problem to him. The biggest problem you or I or this nation, for that matter, has ever faced is not even a worry or a threat to him. He knows what to do, so be encouraged from the knowledge that we find in Isaiah 40. God will strengthen those who wait for him. Listen to verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We find examples in the Bible of some who failed to wait. In the Old Testament, we read of those who tried to collect manna on their time schedule. It didn't work. It was not suitable for consumption. Every time Israel made military alliances for safety without first consulting the Lord, they didn't work. King Saul, tired of waiting for Samuel to offer a sacrifice, took matters into his own hands, and the kingship was taken from him. Whenever we are waiting, walking, or working in confident hope upon the Lord and his time schedule, something will happen. His timing is always right. His strength is always promised. Consider, for example, some of those who did wait faithfully. Joseph waited years in prison. God exalted him to be over all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Abraham waited 35 years. Then God fulfilled his promise of a son. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10 may sound like a familiar situation we all may be experiencing today. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul knows God is working in and through it all. And we need to understand time belongs to God, and that his timing is perfect, reliable, trustworthy, and it has a purpose. The captives in Egypt waited 400 years to be set free. How long will you wait? Galatians 6:9 instructs, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." Romans 10:11 says, "Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame." My friend, God is very much in control. Our God is alive, active, and aware of our situation, ready and willing to carry us through when we invite him to. He cares. Place your trust in him and wait. Your life might be at a breaking point, which is just the right place you need to be so that he can begin the work he has in store for you to do. During this time, we're not to complain, nor are we to be telling God what he should do or when. Our role is to wait in confident expectation and full surrender of God's moving in and through our lives. 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells of the mindset we should have. My dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. From this day forward, purpose to wait in confident expectation for God's plan to be fulfilled in you. Know that in his timing. Better days are just ahead. Amen.